Israelites are about ready to go into the promised land. I don't have my mic on, do I? They're about ready to go into the promised land. And Moses, of course, you know, Moses is not able to lead them into the promised land. Joshua was going to be doing that. God told him, you know, because he got angry and smote the rock the second time, he said that he wasn't going to let him lead Israel into the promised land. That don't sound fair, does it? Huh? It's fair. God's fair. But there are consequences to things. And so he wouldn't be able to lead them. He led them all that way and led them out of Egypt. But he's in a leadership responsibility there. And so they're about to go, and he's kind of having, I guess, an altar call of sorts right here before they get ready to go in the promised land. This is what he said to them, not all of it, but I'm going to start in verse 11. And he's talking about a choice that was going to be before them. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Heavenly Father, again, thank you that we could meet tonight. I mean, a good place to meet and comfortable, and we're thankful for that, Lord. But help us to concentrate on your word here. Clear our minds, our hearts of anything that's distracting us from you, from worshiping you, Lord. I'm thankful for those that are here. And Lord, we want to meet with you, though, as well, and put it all before you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message is Living Between Heaven and Hell. I told Eileen this was an autobiographical message, which it is. It is for everybody. That's where we live, you know, somewhere between there. Now, Moses, like I said, Moses is talking to the Israelites. I know, you know, if we're going to break down the Bible like it should be, and we should, that he's talking to Israelites, he's talking to Jews, and they're getting ready to go in the promised land, and he's telling them, you know, that this is what God's going to do. He's not talking about them losing their salvation. He's talking about them losing the blessings of God. That's really, we look at it from the saved person point of view, that's what he's really saying. You know, we're living in a, and I'll get to that in a minute if I can get us all. I didn't really like the way my outline looks, and I'm going to try to fix it on the way. I'll get it straightened out on the way. But, you know, he's talking to them, and they're about to cross over to this promised land. He's going to talk to them about accountability, and he's going to talk to them, you know, and about the accountability of the Word of God and the consequences of human choices. And we all have choices that we can make. He's not teaching, as I said, work salvation. This isn't, he's talking to God's people. Now, we can apply this. I can apply this very well, and I'm going to people that are lost. And we could deal with salvation in that way. But we can also apply it to us that are saved. And so there's going to be two groups of people that I'm really talking to. People that may be lost or not saved, and the people that are saved, and we still have accountability. And we're still living between heaven and hell in a way on earth. We're not going to go to hell because of the cross there, but we still have choices to make, and we still have consequences for the choices. Now, you know, we think about this, you know, there's some people, like the Calvinistic viewpoint, is that, you know, we don't have any choice in salvation. But I disagree with that. They have a couple other views. They believe in a limited atonement, that Jesus only died for the elect, that they're, and therefore they're the ones. And if, and they make statements like this: well, if Jesus died for you, you're saved. No, that's, the Bible doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It doesn't say that you're saved because Jesus died for you. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. It's faith in the fact that Jesus died for you. Jesus can die for you, but if you don't exercise any faith in that, this thing is driving me nuts. If you don't exercise faith in it, then, you know, you're still going to remain lost. I mean, because we have to have the ability, you know, in other words, they're going to say that there's not a choice, that it's all God's doing. If somehow we had a choice, then man has his hand, but that's not exactly. There's statements in the Bible. I can show you election verses that might back that thought up, but I can show you other verses. So both things are taught in the Bible. They're both taught. But I said something to you this morning. I pointed this out, and it said first in John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says this: as many as received him, to him gave to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And that word received, I pointed this out this morning, that word received is in the active voice. It means a continuing receiving or grasping or accepting. As many as received him. That's our part. Huh? God's part. Now God draws us. God speaks to us. Man, listen, salvation, God, there's the only, you know, he draws us to himself, but he's not a robot. So we talked about that, but there's our part. We have to make choices. If we don't have a choice, how come Joshua told him in chapter 24, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve? It's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he went on to say. So we have a choice right there. And then we think about, if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Listen, if we didn't have the possibility to choose either way, that first word would not be if, it would be when. Then that would mean when all the elect get saved, when they get saved. But it says if. That means there's a possibility that they won't. And people don't. And people don't. Not everybody gets saved. You know, not everybody, even though, I, you know, Jesus, and say, well, if Jesus died for them and they don't get saved, did God fail? No, because in his sovereignty, that was his plan. That was his plan. He showed the world that he loved them. He didn't just, you know, if Jesus didn't die for me, could God honestly say that he loved me? Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Does God love everybody? We'd have to say he does. He's love, right? He has to love everybody, right? So we look at those things. So here's the thing. We think this. We can't not have the ability to choose, but then be shouldered with the responsibility of not choosing the right thing. How can I be responsible? Heard a guy one time, I was in a Calvinistic meeting. He was talking about the irresistible grace, that if you're one of the elect, that somewhere along the way you're going to get saved. I mean, God, you know, God's not going to drag you kicking and screaming down the aisle to get saved, but somewhere along the way you're going to get saved if you're one of the elect. Now, God in his omniscience, he does know who's going to get saved and who's not. He does know that, but I still think there's a viable option out there to be saved. And at the end of the service, the guy, the same guy preaching, he said, if you drop off into hell, it's your own fault. So I asked this other guy that I went with. I knew he wasn't a radical Calvinist. So I said, Ronnie, if I'm not one of the elect and I drop off into hell, how is it my fault? I said, how is it my fault? Can't be. I can't be responsible if I couldn't be responsible for it. If I'm born sinner, I didn't. What was my part in that? I couldn't help it. Is it not on? Paul didn't like my tie being flipped upside down. It is distracting, isn't it? It's like when there's a little piece of paper on the floor, I can't preach. So Paul couldn't listen with my tie up. Y'all keep me straight. Was my zipper okay? he was going like this, waving at me with his tie. I can't be responsible, but that, you know, that's not the case. And so here's what happens. God initiates in grace, and God initiates in drawing us to himself. And I think God's going to draw, like I said this morning, everything that draws us to God. We've got the Word of God. We've got our conscience. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the cross. We've got creation. We can see God in creation and it's speaking to us. We can see God, in the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we've got like the church that the gates of hell have been against, I said this morning, and it's still here. And then that conscience of ours. Man, I mean, so God is drawing man to himself. But you got to make a decision on that drawing. He didn't make a robot. He didn't do that for sure. So here we are. We think about this, and Moses spoke about this in his text. He talked about that. He said, I have set before thee in verse 15 this day life and good and death and evil. So we know those things are on both sides of things. And in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So that was for them, and they were saved. And so, you know, that's what he was saying was to the saved people. It's the same for us. We're living between life and death and good and evil still as saved people, right? And if we follow after God, I mean, generally, it's not that we're not going to have some bad times in our life, and it's not that it's not going to be some difficult times, but we're going to generally, you know, God's leading us to blessing. And we're going to go through life with God, and God's going to bless us, and we're going to, you know, God will be able to use us, and it's going to impact our children, you know, because they see us following after God. But I'm going to tell you what, if we go away from God, even as God's people, you can go ahead and backslide if you want to. You can fall away from God, but what's going to happen is you'll get away from God, and then you're setting an example for your children, and you might reap what you sow in your children, and you might reap what you sow in your life. Your health can go bad. Your testimony go bad. You might meet an early death. That's what he was telling them. You might meet an early death because you've gone away from God, and God's the one that wants to bless us, right? This is the thing. So we know that even from the saved point of view that this is a possibility, and we have the ability. We make a decision every day. We make choices every day, don't we? We can make a choice. Hey, you made a choice tonight. You know what? You could have made a choice and stayed home. Well, would that have been a blessing or? Well, I don't know. From God's people point of view, think about it. I mean, you're really leading towards a blessing? Huh? But we got the Word of God, right? We pray, we praise, we sing, we worship God, we honor God by our presence. He takes note. Huh? That's leading into the way of blessing. We make a choice. Or we can decide, hey, I'm not going. I'm not going to come, and I'm not going to take my family, and I'm not going to, you know, and I'm not going to do anything. I mean, we can go that way, right? We still have it. What, you know, how's it going to go? So we're living right between, you know, we're still living between, we're in this period that we live in now, and the whole race is living this way, and this is more to people that, I mean, we know that we're saved, right? I mean, we know that, and so the cross has done something for us. I'll get to it in a minute. But the world is living between heaven and hell. The world, really, before salvation, you're living in a probationary state. You're just, you know, here you are between heaven and hell, all this time in your life, making decisions, making choices, God's drawing you, and you're making the decision or not, right? And no decision is a decision, by the way. And so there you are, and all throughout your life, and somewhere along the way, I thank God when I was 33, I was 32, probably coming up on 33 years old when I got saved. Thank God for that. Too bad it wasn't sooner. Right? Good thing nothing happened up until that time. But God knew all this, right? God knew. And so here we are, and then I got saved, and all of us are like that. And there's people out there that are living their life right now. They're right between being born and dying. And they're right between, and they're somewhere between heaven and hell, and they got choices to make, and God's drawing, and that's, you know, you can use this in that way as well. So the whole world is living on that. And God has set the way before us. He set a way before us. And there's the way of life and the way of death. That's just the two ways. The two, you know, the Bible speaks about two gates, right? The narrow way, that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, the Bible says. And then there's the broad way that leadeth unto death. You know why it's broad? Because it says that many go in thereat. Many go in there, the broad way. It's so broad that it has to be broader because it's a big crowd. Because what are they doing? They're choosing to do their own thing. They're choosing to go that way. And here they are, man, right between living between heaven and hell, and this way of life and the way of death, the way of blessing and the way of cursing. Because it'll certainly be a curse. It's certainly a curse if you're going to bury your own sin when you go out of this life. And so, And God's, but here's the thing about it. And you know, God is so loving, because you could look at it, well, why didn't God just make us all a robot? Why didn't God just make us all get saved? Because, see, we're made in His image. And He has a will. So do we. And we has a choice, you know, and He wants, you know, but He's right there to rescue us. He's right there for us. And he draws us and speaks to us and gives us, like I said this morning, boy, you got to trip over a lot of things to fall off into hell. Huh? You got to trip over all them things I mentioned. Creation, the Bible, the Word, the church, you know, the Holy Spirit and your conscience. You got to step over all that to get into hell. And He's wearing us out all along the way. And we got these choices to make. So one day the probation period is going to be over. It's just going to be over. You know, we're not going to have this. This is the day of salvation now. It's the time. But God loves, man. He loves to save His people. He loves to save His creation. He wants to save His creation. Breaks His heart when we don't trust Him. People don't trust Him. And I think we probably break His heart too, even as saved people. That when we don't go the way of blessing instead and go the cursing. So I got a couple points there to put on here with you. You know, one thing, we see availability, and I'm speaking about availability of God and His Word. In verse 11 through 14, He said, "For this commandment which I commanded thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." You know, we got the Word of God. It's not in heaven. You don't have to go to heaven to find out what God wants, find out His will, that thou should say, "Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" No, we don't have to do that. They already had the Ten Commandments. They already had a word from God. It said, "Neither is beyond the sea." You don't have to go on a long trip that thou should say, "Who shall go over sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it?" Look what it said in verse 14. "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou may doest it." Now remember, He's talking to people, what we would call saved people. They were Israelites. There it is. We don't have to go anywhere. God's word's right there. We've got it in our hearts. We know enough of it now, and we're living in it now. We've got a canonized. They didn't even have a canonized Bible then. We got the Word of God. They didn't have it. They had the Ten Commandments, but they didn't have a whole canonized book. We got the book, and we got the church. We got the preaching, man. We got everything. There's, you know, we've got it all. The accessibility of God's Word, man, it's available. And like I said, all the other things that we have to go along with that, the Holy Spirit that they didn't have as a permanent possession. And it's not hard to know God's word and God's will. I think most of us have been in church most of the time. There's probably going to be very few things that you say, "Man, I didn't know we shouldn't do that." Huh? You know, really, right? What am I going to tell you tonight? Like say, "Hey, well, you know, you probably shouldn't do this. And the word of God says you shouldn't do that. And you ought to do this." I mean, I'd have to dig around in the Bible forever and probably not find, there might be some of you, I'd never find anything that you say, "Well, I never heard that," or "I didn't know that." We know, right? We know what the Word of God says. Huh? It's not hard to find. It's right there. We know what God's will is. And He says it's possible to do it. He didn't say it was impossible. He said that thou mayest do it. And at the end of verse 14, and then in verse 13, He says, "And do it." So we know that the Word of God's not hard. He said it was in their mouths. It was in their hearts. And we knew it, and they knew it. So these verses, along with other verses, they just take away the excuses. We got a choice to make, and we got choices to make based on knowledge. It's not just like, "Well, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I hope I'm going in the right way." We know what way to go. We got the way of life and the way of death. Huh? We know we got the word for life, eternal life. We got that way. We got the way of death. We know it. We're right in the middle of it. And then we think about accountability. Now, here's the thing. So we got the availability of God's Word, but now we got to think about accountability. And that goes for everybody. I mean, it goes for us, especially the saved people. And it said in verse 19, Moses told him, when he said that, he said in verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And he said, "Record this day that heaven and earth is a witness against you." So here's the thing about this in life, and this applies, I don't care whether you're an atheist, a Christian, agnostic, it doesn't matter, that there are consequences for every deed done and every word spoken. There's always consequences. May not be bad, may not be good, may not be significant, But everything we say, everything we do, there's a consequence for that. And it would apply to all people on earth. We have, and God has worked it out this way, and I think this is the way God intended originally for mankind, so I say we can apply this everywhere, that we have a moral obligation every time we exercise our right of choice. We have a moral obligation, and I think even the laws of our country particularly are based on this. We have an obligation to God, we have an obligation to ourselves, and we have an obligation to others. Every time we make a moral decision, we have those obligations to God, others, and our own self even. And the Bible's clear on this. Listen, every person's going to give account one day. The lost are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. They're going to give account of everything they said and everything they did, and then what they did with Jesus. So that's the main thing. You're not going to get to heaven by your good works. It's what you did with Jesus, but they'll give account for that. But then we, because of the cross, some things are different with us. We still have to give an account too. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's going to be judging what? Our works, which is our deeds. Whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. What we did for the glory of God, everything else is going to be wood, hay, stubble. Think about that. Everything else that we do. Woo! Man, it's going to be a big fire. Huh? It's going to be a big fire to judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have a whole lot of stuff burn up. That's how much stuff we don't do for the glory of God. Not that it's sinful. It's not that we're doing, it might not necessarily of itself be bad, but we're not doing it for the glory of God. And so we know that'll be the gold, silver, precious stones. Boy, I can hear it now. You ever throw like one rock in a milk pail and roll it around? That'll be what it looks like. There'll be a lot of Christians up there, and that's what it's going to sound like when they got their gold, silver, precious stones. They look in there. That's it? Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, you got into heaven, but that's it. We're going to be there. So there's future consequences for things, accountability for everything. But there's present consequences, even now, not just then. And I think there's present consequences for God's people particularly. I think even for lost people as well. So like I said, Moses is talking to these God's chosen people there. He's talking to them. And he's telling them some things like if you choose evil. See, we have this because of our sin nature. We have a propensity towards evil. I said this morning, we didn't have to go to school to learn how to lie. We didn't have to go to school to learn how to do anything, if you swipe something, steal something. You didn't go to class for that. It's easy. It's natural because it's in the old sin nature. We know that. But Moses told him, if they chose to turn from God and refuse to listen, he said, I'm going to guarantee you destruction. It's going to be, your health can go bad. Your family can fall apart. Your life can be, man, so many people ruin lives. Listen, in the lost world, and there's even Christian lives that were just ruined by, their choices that they make. Solomon, wisest man there was. This is scary because we're not the wisest men we know. He's the wisest man there was. And in his old age, he went away from God. He'd married so many wives, and he married pagan wives, which he shouldn't have done. He wasn't supposed to multiply wives because he was a king. He wasn't supposed to multiply horses because God didn't want the kings putting their trust in horses. And he did both of those things, and they wasn't supposed to be unequally yoked. New Testament verse 2, supposed to be marrying believers or God's people. And those foreign wives led him off into idolatry. And so, man, he didn't finish very well. He didn't, it could have ended a lot better than that. There was destruction. Now, God would chasten. There's the chastening of God, which, I don't know, in one hand it is a blessing, I guess. But I'm glad he doesn't let us just go on without chastening us. But we wouldn't all actually, it could be better, right? Could be a blessing. Without that. And like I said, your health is ruined. So many people get away from what God tells them. Saved and lost people, the health is down the drain. I'll tell you what, you go to Walmart. I look out there at Walmart. How many times, it never fails. You're driving down in front of Walmart and there's somebody going across. They barely making it, you know, you got to stop. You know what I mean? Or somebody on a scooter. And you're looking at their ages. They're not that old. There's a lot of people with bad health. As many people were missing. There's a lot of people that have bad health. And it's, not all of it's because of bad choices, but a lot of it is probably. A lot of it's because of bad choices. And so then, like I said, your families can be destroyed by the example you set for your children. And then, you know, living outside of the blessings of God on your life. But like I said, for the believers, the cross changed some things for us as believers. It did. You know, we're not really living between heaven and hell. Hell's taken care of. Hell's taken care of, right? We're not going, if we're saved, you're truly saved, we're not living between heaven and hell. We're living between now and heaven, or now or whenever God's going to get it. But the judgment, that's changed, you know, judgment seat of Christ. John 5:24 says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And that word condemnation right there is the word judgment. Shall not come into judgment. You know, if you've trusted Christ. See, so that's a big verse. Think about that. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now that believing is in the heart and not the head as much. Hath, past tense, you have it now, everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How about that? Man, that's great. But now we got availability of God's word. We got the accountability. Everybody's going to be accountable, saved or lost. But now we think about it from the saved point of view, from the saved person, the responsibility. Responsibility. I said this morning this, you know, any sane person would say, hey, I don't want to go to hell. Makes sense. Any sane person would say, yeah, I'd like to go to heaven. But there's a lot of people that would like those two things because the flesh likes it. But if you tell them, talk to them about repentance and faith, they don't want to give their sin up. They're not ready for that. They don't want to give that, right? So there's a thing there. But when we that are really saved, when we trust Christ, in verse 20, he said this. Look what he said. He says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So we see the part there that bottom half, of course, is applying to Israel right there. But I think we could apply the other part to us as well. You know, our sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation. Everything's settled in heaven. But we still got a responsibility. There's a lot of people just like say, well, I got saved and I'm not going to hell and I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to sit back and I don't have any responsibility. No. No, we got a lot of responsibility. Verse 20, by the way, if you look at verse 20, that is a definition of a true life. That is a true saved life right there. Look what it's, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Greatest commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Huh? And then love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the last. Those are the two greatest commandments in the Bible. That's what he said right there. This is relationship right here. This is salvation right here. That's what he said. This is my life. So it's not just a physical existence, but an active relationship with the Lord. So now we got an active relationship with the Lord. What does that mean? That means that we have a responsibility. This is what I'm really trying to get to this point. Said all that to get to here. We got here. We have this responsibility. What does God expect if you're saved? What does God expect from you? I mean, the Bible's full of things. What does he expect? Now, it's the Lord doing it through us if we surrender to him. I understand that. But Christianity is more than a home in heaven or a void in hell. And, you know, we're not just to get saved and then vegetate. We're not going to be judged by the law of Moses that was taken care of on the cross. But we are going to be judged on how we have lived in the Father's house. We'll be judged on that. So how do we love God? How do you love God? I mean, love's a hard thing to... you know, a little love meter over top of our head. How do we love God? He said the greatest commandment. Notice what he said. The greatest commandment. This puts a responsibility on the believer, right? The greatest commandment is that we love the Lord thy God with all our heart. Man. All our heart. All our heart. All of it. How do you know? You love the Lord with all your heart? Maybe just a piece of it? Huh? A little half of it? I don't know. What's it feel like to love anybody, anything with all of your heart? With all our heart? With all our mind? Boy, you ain't going to get much love out of that. The mind isn't very big. With all our mind. Boy, look at there. Size of a mustard seed. With all our mind. With all our soul. Probably all our soul and all our mind. Whichever one comes first in the verse. Either one. They're all applied, right? All our soul. Our soul. That's deep. That's depth. That's your life. Huh? That's your life. Because you got to watch it, old heart. Be deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, right? You love God like that? That's a commandment. We're going to be judged on how we love the Lord. Think about it. There's a responsibility. Oh, and I'm going to tell you what. This is what I think. I know this. You can't love God like you should in your own strength. Huh? You got to have the Holy Spirit of God. The love of, you got to be filled with God. And the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first word? Love, man. What's the first word?
Love.
Y'all weak, man. What's the first word?
Love.
All right, there you go. Just making sure you're awake. You're filled with the Spirit of, you're going to be filled with the love of God, and you got to have the love of God to love God the way you should with all your heart, mind, soul, and in one verse says all your strength. Adds it on there. Matthew, it doesn't say that, but it says it in another place. You can't love God. So what do we got to pray for? Huh? How about ask God to forgive you for not loving him like you should, and ask God to give you his love so that we can love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That's what we got to do, because it's a commanded thing. But do we ever pray for that? God, I know I don't love you like I should. I can confess that. Huh? Need to confess it. Need to confess it every day. Can't do it. Then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Woo! Huh? Sometimes I feel like just shooting my neighbor. He gets out there making a bunch of racket over there, man. Four-wheeling around on my property. Boom, boom. Huh? Love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, you can't do that either without God. You can't. Huh? It's hard, man. Some people's hard to love. I mean, everybody ain't like me. Huh? I'm easy to love. Everybody ain't like me. I know it's hard for you to understand. But some people's hard to love. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the two greatest commandments in the Bible. How are we doing here? We got a responsibility. A responsibility. That's like a four-letter word in this world today. Responsibility. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be responsible. Too late now. How about being faithful? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to God in what? All things. Everything. Not just what we pick and choose. But we got to be faithful. How are we doing with that? Faithful. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Huh? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day, the last days, approaching. Not forsaking assembling of ourselves together. Look like we're a little bit forsaken here tonight, right? People do forsake the assembly. How are we doing with this? There's a responsibility. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be separate. We have a responsibility to live a separated life from the world. In other words, our life can't look like, act like, smell like the world. We have a responsibility to separate ourselves. I mean, we have to go into the world, and we have to love our neighbors, and we have to love people, and we have to witness to them. But see, we don't have to be part of it. We don't want to be part of it. And you shouldn't even. I know this. Listen, I'm failing in a whole lot of things, right? But I know this for a fact. I know as a Christian, there's just places I am not comfortable being in. I mean, man, I feel as out of place as it gets. It's the truth. And you should. Amen. That's a good thing, right? But we got to be faithful. We're going to be accountable for that. We're going to have a responsibility for that. That Romans 12:2 says, be not, not maybe, perhaps, if you feel like it, be not conformed to this world, this world's system, this world's way of doing things. We're different. Huh? We're just different. The Bible calls us peculiar people. We use that today. Well, yeah, we got that down pat, right? We're different. And listen, here's the key about it. God expects it. God expects this from us. This is the expectation. Boy, I heard somebody say it like this, man. If some of those old apostles, some of them early saints came back and saw the church today, they'd be shocked. They'd be shocked at what they saw. They wouldn't even believe that a lot of people are Christians. They wouldn't believe it. No. They'd say, no. No way in the world. Just in appearance and speed, everything. Just everything. Listen, this is what God expects. We got that great commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and teaching them, teach all nations. God saved us and he commissioned us, and he made us actually to go out into the world and preach the gospel. A command. Don't tell me you can't do it. You're calling God a liar. Well, I just can't. Yes, you can. God can do it through you. Maybe in a way you can't, but God can do it through you. He told us to go. He's telling us to go. No excuses, no passes, no exceptions. God expects it. Like I said this morning, that woman, who told that woman to run back to the city and tell everybody that she had met a man and got to be the Messiah? She didn't go to soul winning class 101. Huh? She just was full of God, man. She met Jesus. She ran back to the town and said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Woo! You want somebody telling everybody everything you ever did? Think about that. You know, he commands us in so many words to be courageous, be bold. He tells us also at the same time to be humble. God expects that. To take up our cross daily. God expects this from us. Details, Jesus told us to do it. Take up our cross daily. Control our tongue. How y'all doing here? Huh? He tells us to control our tongue. That thing's hard, boy. Huh? Control our thoughts. God expects this. Control our thoughts. To forgive our enemies. No, we got to love our neighbors, man. We got to love our enemies. Love our enemies. And I think another thing, I think he expects us to reverently worship him. I think that's a responsibility, really. The world's not going to do it. That we should worship the Lord. We ought to be reverent. We ought to worship the Lord. So you think about this. If you've come to the cross and you've come to Jesus for salvation, and Christ has saved you, you do have eternal life, you do have a home in heaven, you know you're not going to go to hell, but you also have a responsibility. We're living in this, the hell part's taken care of. The world that's lost is living right between heaven and hell. There's going to be consequences to their choices. If they don't decide to follow Jesus, there's going to be a big consequence to that. But then even us that are saved, we've had hell taken care of. Christ has paid for our sins. We're still living between now and heaven, and God has an expectation of us here as Christian people. God does expect things, and every one of them's a possibility as we surrender our life to him that we can do those things. And the Bible tells us this is another command. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. That they may glorify God when they see our good works. That's God, that's an expectation from God, an expectation. Amen? There's some things for us to dwell on, same things for us to think about. You know, what's your choice? What's your choice going to be tonight? What is it? You know, are you sure you're saved? You know that you're on the way? Are you dwelling out there in the middle between heaven and hell? You still need to make a choice for Jesus. There's a consequence of not being saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for those paying attention and being attentive. Thank you for that. And Lord, now help us concentrate and think, you know, really dwell on what you expect from us. And help us to pray. Pray for that boldness that we need, Lord. Help us to pray that we can love you more, and we can. Lord, all these things we need to pray to you about for our life. And I ask you to have your way in the invitation time tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, let's stand for our invitational hymn, "That Is Well With My Soul."